Church, say amen. How great, how great is our God. You know, it's amazing to know that we serve a God that is mighty, powerful, and he loves us in spite of us. You know, I'm going to read today's scripture in a minute here, but I ask that you pray for Mount Evergreen and Evington. They lost their pastor, Reverend Davis. Overwhelming, overwhelming. A young man who just wanted to be with the Lord. And pray for the Davis Turner Funeral Home. Lost a key figure there. But we know that we serve a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. As I thought on the events that just happened yesterday, I turned to John chapter 14. With everything that's going on in our world today, the Bible is still true. As you turn in your Bibles to chapter 14, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." You know, folks, we get ready. We want to go to heaven, but nobody want to die to get there. It's amazing, but God says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Man, I'm not mad at all. He's going to prepare a place for me. Although I'm excited about going to heaven, and I'm ready now. Because he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." I'm going to stop at verse 5. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Verse 6, and I'll stop. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's God's word, folks, for God's people.
Thank you, Reverend Givens, for that divine word. Can we celebrate the Lord, amen, this morning? Can we just celebrate the Lord for being good all week long, amen? As we prepare to pray for invocational prayer. Invocational prayer is when we invite the Lord in to come into our household. We're also praying for those online too, amen. And my heart goes out to those over in Ukraine. I do believe that the same God that's here in Virginia, in the United States of America, is the same God over in Ukraine. I was watching CNN, and man, it showed a group of Ukrainians kneeling down in the park. And I went and prayed with them. And so can we just invite the Holy Spirit into Crossroads, into Ukraine? Because there's a devil over there. There's a thief over there trying to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the Bible says that I've come to give bring life and life more abundant, amen. Can y'all pray with me on that, amen? Amen. To intercede on Ukraine's hand and send the Holy Spirit over there. I believe that God will come and intercede and on our behalf and do far greater than what we can. We can do it right now, this morning, by faith in God. Oh, come on now. Can we prepare our hearts, a mile and prayer? Lord God, once again we come. Lord God, just as we are, a fruit of your hand made human. Lord God, we come calling on the moon. We come calling on the infrastructure of the Holy Spirit. Become this man. Lord God, by faith we believe. By faith we intercede. Lord God, go before us. Right over in Ukraine. and the war zone. Go right here at Crossbow in our war zone. Well, God, we want to go into our war zone and pray. We in the free and post our request on the wall, Lord God. So we can come right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I do believe, Lord God, that you can come right now. Lord God, and in the free, you can stop the war. Lord God, you can heal the land. Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus. Come and put Crossbow. Come and put those online. Come, Lord God, into our hearts. Come into our minds. Lord God, prepare that need. Lord God, in the free on our behalf, pray for us and pray with us. Lord God, that we can cast all our cares for you and that we'll be revived. Thank you, Lord, for being God. Thank you, Lord God, for being our Father, our friend that has fucked over blah, blah, blah. Thank you, Lord God, but we know that you are a refuge, a strength, a voice of trouble help in a time of trouble, Lord God. Lord God, we got trouble in our land. And you said to pray, if my people, which are called by my name, come of themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from my wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal the land. Well, God, I believe in your promises because you are a promise keeper. So, Lord God, I believe that you will. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I believe that you will. In the name of Jesus. We declare victory. We declare victory for Ukraine. We declare victory for Crossbow. We declare victory for Bold Online. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You are here, touching everything. Anybody bring a praise with them? Yeah. You might as well go on and use it. Amen. God be all the glory and all the praise. Again, our prayers and thoughts go out to Bert Davis' family. Our prayers go out to the people in Ukraine. There's a lot that we should keep in prayer and ask God to bless and ask him to move, because we know that only God can answer and solve these difficulties that we're facing. But to God be the glory. We read the end of the book, and we know who wins. Amen. As long as we know that, everything's going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. Got a couple of things we want to share with you. We were excited this morning, had the baptism of Jamari, and certainly we give God praise for blessing him and receiving him through the waters of baptism. Again, we ask that you keep in prayer people that are on our prayer list, the families that are shut in, families that are in need. Pray for Trustee Vincent Patterson. He came through his surgery well and is recovering. Ask that you pray for Donna Johnson. She too came through her procedures, and we ask that God would continue to bless her. Pray also for Mr. and Mrs. Gregory, that you would bless them, for Helen Witcher, for Ms. Ruby Mickles, Naomi Johnson. Pray for Tanisha Pierman, Tony Smith, Ingrid Dunneville, and Frank James. We ask that you keep them in prayer. Pray for Ms. Delma Gregory, that the Lord would bless and preserve her. And pray for those that are going through cancer treatments, that God would give them victory and strength. Ask that you keep Brother Joe Wilson in prayer, and the loss of his cousin in St. Lucia. And we're praying for them that God would bless and give them safe travels. Pray for our church family, our youth. We certainly ask that you pray for our military. Pray for our nation's leaders, that they would be directed by God and not by political persuasion. Just do what's right. Just do what's right, and God will indeed bless. Continue to keep the seniors in prayer, of which I'm one of them. Amen. Keep us in prayer that the Lord would keep us in his will. Now, you can attend our services, as many are that are attending online through Facebook. We ask that you would continue to pray for our church, even online, that the Lord would bless. And as always, we direct you to our website during the week or at any time. Crossroad is open 24/7 at crossroadbc.com. If you want to hear a message, you can do that. And we do ask that you remember our church in giving, that the missions and things that the Lord has given us, that you would just log in and contribute whatever the Lord directs you to do. As we, in a few minutes, we will be giving into the offering. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to participate in such a powerful work of God through giving. So we ask that you would do that. Now, coming up, we will have our church meeting, first church meeting of the year, on March 25th at 7 p.m. So we're asking all of our members, we'll have that here in our lower auditorium of the church, but we will certainly have our church meeting on March 25th at 7 p.m. For those of you that like to attend our Sunday school and you're not able to be here physically, we do have access through Zoom. You would just contact me at pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll send you the link for our Sunday school. Have a weekly youth prayer on Tuesday night at 6:30. Sean is doing a great job with our youth, and certainly we're going to be praying that the Lord will continue to bless them. But if you talk to Sean, he can give you the link for our youth prayer on Tuesdays at 6:30. Men's fellowship every third Saturday coming up in March, and it'll be on March the 19th on this coming third Saturday, March the 19th. You can attend at 7:30 a.m. in the morning, challenging all men to be men of God. Amen? Challenging you not just to be a man, be macho, be God's man. Amen. Be God's man. What else? Wednesday night Bible study. That's on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. You can attend through Zoom, and we would love to have you. Again, contact us here at the church, and we'll be able to help you with that. Go online, crossroadbc.com. You'll be able to get that information. Now, coming up in the month of April, we participated last year, in a great car show. And we're going to label this, and on behalf of one of our fallen deputies in Campbell County, the Jason Saunders Memorial Car Show will be held here on the grounds of the Crossroad Baptist Church. That's going to be on April the 30th, all day long. We're going to be, well, it's public is going to be from, I think, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., but those that would like to be a part of that, be workers in it, that's going to be a great event. Come out early, and we're having plans. I'm looking around the church at volunteers and getting everybody involved so we can make that happen. You all did a tremendous job last year, and we ask that you would help us out this year. April 30th, all day long here at the Crossroad Baptist Church. Also coming up on March the 19th, we'll have our third health and wealth seminar here at the church. Chef D. Saunders will be the cook for that. And Damond Bolden will give some key biblical principles on personal finances. So that's going to be on March the 19th at 12 noon. Got a sign-up sheet that you can sign up for it. If you've not attended in the past, then please be a part of this because you need to know what's happening with your finances, especially in times like these. So you're going to learn a couple of things. Some of it is going to be a repeat, but we ask for those that have attended earlier, how's it going? What are these things doing for you? So you can give testimony that it works. I'm going to be sharing some things a little bit later on of how I'm 69 years old and what I was taught. One, eat everything on your plate. I don't know who told us that, but you might not want to do all that. Yeah, you might have saw a lot of other things that I'm going to be sharing with you in just a few minutes. But if you want to find out more, come out on March the 19th. Sign up for it. It is limited as to how many we can seat. March 19th at 12 noon. I'm going to have a great time. Amen? A couple of thank you notes. We have a thank you that comes from the Barksdale family to the pastor and associate ministers and members, friends of the Crossroad Baptist Church. I'm so glad God made us one body with many members because it takes everyone support when we go through a loss of a loved one. Your kindness and generosity will always be remembered during the time of transition from a mom. Thank you so much for the outpouring of love, phone calls, and cards, and all remembrances. Love, Deacon Al, T, and the Barksdale family. So thank you so much on the Barksdale family. Then also we have a thank you that comes to us from Lee Irvin, thanking the church for their prayers and support and for the Christmas card. He says that it is a strength to him to know that he has a loving and caring church family. So certainly we thank God for each one of you. If you're online, drop us a line. Drop us an email. It might take me a while, but I will respond. I promise you. Pastor at crossroadbc.com. All right, we're going to be getting ready for our offering. We also, at the close of this service, will be welcoming in Jamari as a member of our church. And also at the close of the service, we'll be having our communion. So if you're at home, get you some grape juice, get you a wafer, and we'll prepare to celebrate communion with you online. Amen? What a way to have church. But nevertheless, we're going to be remembering the Lord. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. Let us all stand as we honor God with our giving. What an exciting time. The Lord has blessed us, and we return thanks by giving him back the offering.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Glory to you, Almighty God. Glory to you, Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we come thanking you, O God, for the gift of work and labor. Father, that we may require resources, Lord God, that we may support ourselves as well as our family. But now, Lord, we come as obedient stewards, Lord, to give back a portion of that to you, that it may be used for your glory, to meet the need of the people, and to continue to build your kingdom here on earth. Father, we're grateful for those who are labor. We're grateful for those who are able to give. And Lord, we ask you to bless those, Lord, who may be seeking employment, inquiring resources, Lord, that they may be able to support themselves. So, Lord, we ask you to provide. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, dying on that cross, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So we continue to honor you in giving. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. You know, I'm discovering things as we go through life that you never stop learning. When people stop learning, you die. Let me go a little bit further. Where you get your knowledge is critical. If you get your knowledge from man, you're still going to die because it will come to an end. Do you not realize that when man prints a textbook, the moment that it's in print, it's out of date? God gave us this word, and it's never out of date. It's always viable, is always real. You get your wisdom from the Word of God. And as I stated earlier, I'm going to take my text in just a minute, but as I stated earlier, I've been living on this planet for over 69 years, and I didn't know what hydration really meant. You know, you people tell you drink plenty of water. Well, what does that mean? And I learned something the other day that absolutely revolutionized my life. Don't drink a whole lot of water during your meal. Drink it before your meal or after your meal because your body. Now, somebody else might have known that. You might have known that. Bless you. I ain't mad at you for not sharing it with me. 69 years, been having stomach problems because drinking water the wrong way. If you dilute your food while you're drinking it, you can't get all your nutrients out of it. Duh. So I learned something. Revolutionized my life. I'm sleeping better. Man, I'm telling you, my wife having to wake me up in the morning. You learn something. Closed-minded people never learn. And they keep repeating the same thing over and over again. You got to open your mind. And I'm going to say this and get into my text. For the greater part of my life in the church, I always thought that the power was in the church building, you know, being around. You know, you taught that. This is the powerhouse. This is where the Holy Ghost dwells. Wrong. It's the Word of God in you. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Don't go out here twisted. We love our church and we support our church, but the power does not come from the building. It comes from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I look at all the church wars, people getting mad at folk because of stuff that go on in the building, when they should have been focusing on Christ all along. Trying to be religious and trying to express that religion based on a particular building. God loves the building. He loves us, amen, but the power is in you. What God wants to do is to anoint you to live and to be a blessing in this life. He wants to fill you with life. He wants to fill you with joy. He wants to give you that strength that you need to live from day to day. You're not here in this world to make a living. You're here in this world to live for God. You can make a living, but if you don't live for God, ladies and gentlemen, your life is empty and vanity. You've got to be able to say, Lord, I want to embrace your truth. And I'm at a point now, I'm getting so excited about God, I tell you, I can't stand it sometimes. And the other thing I want to say, then I'm going to take my tag. I told you that before, right? You got just as much Holy Ghost at your living room table or at your kitchen table studying the Word as you do sitting on the pew or even preaching here in this pulpit. Invite him in. Say, Lord, come on. I need to learn something. I need to get stirred up. I'm getting ready to go to the doctor's office and don't know what he's going to tell me. You give me a word. And then watch God do. All right. Y'all ready to deal with it? James chapter 1. Man, I can't get out of this, but today we're gonna wrap it up. Look at somebody, tell them we're going to deal with it today. For the last time, we're going to deal with it. James 1, verse 2 and 3. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, entire, and not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. Deal with it. Let's pray. Father, bless us now as we study your word together. May we grow and may we be living witnesses for you. I pray in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. As we learn to trust God, we begin to proclaim that God is great, that God is merciful, that God is all-powerful. This could never be more critical in your life except when the times that you are facing difficulty, when you are facing challenges that are coming your way. Now, we've been talking about deal with it and all of the times that God will give us his joy, but here is what the writer of James is talking about. He goes through this thing about if you cannot express your faith by action, your faith without works is dead. And in the opening of this, he tells us you need to have the attitude of joy. Maintain that. It does not mean that everything in your life is going to go along. It doesn't mean that everything's going to fall into place. But when you count it all joy, you're saying to that situation, God's got control over you. You're saying to that problem, God's going to handle this. If you count it less than joy, or if you say, oh, this is a problem, this is going to do me in. How many times have you said the words, oh, I think this is about to kill me? Well, guess what you're doing? You're inviting that thing to kill you. Amen. I don't want problems of life using me for target practice. No, ladies and gentlemen. I want to walk in the victory that Christ promised to all of us. So you make this proclamation. And remember now, James is writing to a group of people that have been scattered all over the Roman Empire. They're being persecuted. They're going through racial injustice. They're going through religious persecution. They're facing all of these trials. And James has the audacity to tell them, count it all joy. In other words, put a label on it. Put a label on it. What you label it, that's what you're going to live out. What you label it, that's what's going to happen. When you label it and say, God be all the glory, or God, we give you thanks, guess what's going to happen? God is now engaged in that process with you to help you to walk through your struggle and your trial. Let me break it down to you. As James writes this, he says, now, you lack some things. This may come as a surprise, but you don't know everything. I don't care how many books you read. You don't know everything. You're limited. So what God does, he allows that trial and that struggle to come your way to grow you, to develop you, and to help you to mature in the faith that you say you've got. Have y'all ever heard the saying, he'll never put more on you than what you can bear? It's true. God will never put more on you than what he put in you. Oh, I like the sound of that. I was in the military, Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, and they would have the IG inspector that would come in about once a year and to test our knowledge of the various functions and the jobs to make sure that we were ready for any type of crisis or engagement. I'm a member of the 51st Civil Engineers Squadron, which is in fire protection. We fall up under that. And so they wanted to make sure that every fireman knew his job. Only problem was, whenever the IG would come in before the inspector general, we didn't take it seriously. We would just kind of think, oh, yeah, let's just go through and let's pretend the body is laying there. Let's pretend that plane is on fire. So you'd go up and you'd, you know, do your little mock rescue and all of that. Well, this year, the IG inspector decided that he was going to use live ammunition. In other words, a real bomb went off. Wasn't a big one, but it was enough to scare us to take it seriously. And he decided that he wasn't just going to pretend that plane is on fire. They had an old plane that they literally set the thing on fire. Now we're wondering, what in the world are we going to do? You do your job. Life is live ammunition. You got a real devil shooting at you and will kill you if you let him. You can't play around with the armor of God. You got to put it on. Oh, that ain't my color. That makes me look big. Am I talking to somebody in here? You put on the armor of God because it keeps the devil off your back. Are y'all in the building today? God uses those online. I'm preaching to you. Yeah, you're waking up from a hangover. I know that, but listen to me anyway. You got to put on the armor of God because what the Lord does, he throws you into a circumstance that you don't have any control over. You can either call it a mess or you can say, I'm going to call it a miracle. Don't know how God's going to deal with it. Don't know when he's going to engage, but I know he didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Do I have some witnesses in the building? You got to trust him. You got to know that he's able. You got to know that all power is in his hands, and what this all-powerful God will do, he'll say, now, I could handle it, but I'm going to let you handle it. I don't just want to work for you. I want to work through you. We've been taught all this time, you got a problem, bring it to the altar and leave it there. And I'll tell you something, there is a certain amount of truth to that, but sometimes the problems don't go away when you try to leave it there. I don't know, they put some duct tape on that problem, and now it's stuck to you. You're laid off from your job, inflation going up, and you just brought a car, and it's a gas guzzler, and now gas price is going up. Am I talking to somebody in here? God gives you that live ammunition to prove that what he put in you will sustain you in the battles of life. It will keep you in your greatest conflict. But if you approach the problem the wrong way, if you approach the problem and say, this is impossible, you just put a label on it. You just say it impossible. This is going to kill me. You just put the kill me label on it. Oh, I don't know. I'm just a confused person. You just put the label on yourself, confused. But when you count it all joy, when you say to yourself, God will work through me. Huh. I heard somebody say, some way, somehow, we're going to make it. Don't know how. Oh, but God can make a way out of no way. So James is telling us, count it all joy. This is for my glory. This is for my glory. This is why God brought you to this place. Not to break you down, but to perfect you. He wants to complete you. Something is lacking in you. It says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all people liberally. And he doesn't scold you. He'll give you what you need. But what you got to get out of your head, I'm going to do this my way. You ain't Frank Sinatra. And by the way, Frank Sinatra is dead. Hello. I did it my way. Yeah. Go on, sing that song. But if you do it God's way, if you operate according to the Spirit of God And if you get your information from God, and people are going to look at you, who told you that? How you know it's going to work? How many of y'all know if you at the end of your rope and all you got is one answer, I'm going with that one. I'm going with the answer that God gives me. Amen. Because he'll lead me in the right direction. God did something. I'm going to hurry up and rush through this because I want to get to the end of my message. I got something in there for you. But when you deal with the situations of life, you can either deal with it from a victim standpoint, or you can deal with it from a victor standpoint. You can either come at it as a champion. I think about Muhammad Ali. He wasn't afraid to fight anybody. And when he was in his prime, you couldn't take him out. People bigger than him. He knew they could hit, but he just danced around. He would wear them out either with his words or with his move. And the next thing you know, when they wore out, when their arms are hanging there, oh, I'm the champ. You've got to look at yourself not as a loser in life, but as a champion in Jesus. Now, I was losing when I was over there with the devil. Ain't had no money. Y'all ain't gonna talk about it. I get it. Y'all want to be spiritual today. Y'all want to be sanctified today. Hallelujah. You done got the buzz just like me. Come on now. Trying to be sophisticated and nice up in here. Uh-huh. But remember where the Lord brought you from. And one thing I can say, you know, when I was out there in the world, I'm going to come back to my sermon just a minute, but when I was out there in the world, I used to drink the scotch and soda. I used to drink the Jim Beam and all of that other stuff, thinking that that was the best that I could do. But one day I sat down and I drank of the living water. I started drinking of the Spirit. And I told the devil, you lied to me all these years thinking that what I was drinking was all I could drink. But thank God I got a taste of the Holy Ghost. And when I got a taste of God's Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, you will never thirst again. Hallelujah, somebody. Let's take a praise break up in here. Hallelujah. But what I want us to see is you have authority. Since I joined the church, nobody told me, Coleman, you got authority. When you get the word of God in you, you have authority. You're a child of God, not a victim of this world. Back in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, God gave Adam authority to name what he had created. Now, God created it, but he told Adam, I'm not going to name it. I want you to name it. Because what you name, you got to live with it. Adam named the giraffe, and he didn't name the same thing to a gopher. One of them eats high, and the other one digs in the ground. What if Adam had confused a monkey with a mouse? The Lord would have shook his head. Man, that ain't right. Well, what if he had confused man with a donkey? I started to say the other word, but y'all couldn't take it today. Yeehaw! Some men act like that sometimes. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. So the Lord gave him authority. You name it. And Adam, if you name it, you got to live with it. That authority has never been taken back. And what I'm afraid of, some of you have been naming things wrong in your life, and the Holy Spirit says, you got to live with it. You say you're a failure. You got to live with that. You say that life is impossible. You got to live with that. But when you wake up and you realize through reading this word that God puts you in a position, especially with your life, to not only make decisions, but to call the circumstances of life by their right name. This is not my worst nightmare. This is my opportunity. Boy, I like the sound of that. I like the sound. Yes, it might look like trouble, but I'm going to call it my triumph. I might not be able to see where I'm going because of the tears in my eye. This is not pain. This is my promotion. Are y'all listening to me? Now, to help you with your dictionary and your, you don't have to come up with a word for everything that comes your way because James has already settled it for you. He said, when you face something, just count it all joy. Look in your Bible. Look in your Bible. So I'm going to the doctor's office and don't know what he's going to say. What am I going to call it? All joy. My problems seem more than I can bear. What am I going to call them? All joy. I'm going to put a label on it. And I'm going to label it all joy. That's how I'm going to deal with it. Some of you, you got a testimony. Every time people ask you how you doing, I'm hanging in there. Here go Tarzan one more time. And fell off the vine a bunch of times. Got yourself all bruised up trying to hang in there. Give it a different label. From this time going forward, call it all joy. Because the God of joy is with you. Jesus, when he faced the crucifixion, Hebrews tells us, for the joy that was set before him. Even when he was on the cross, a whole lot of people telling him, Jesus, say this. Jesus, all of a sudden, joy showed up. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to look past this and look at joy because that's where I'm going. Do you not know that the joy of the Lord is your strength? That's where you get your power from. That's where you get your grace from. Look at somebody, tell them, I never would have made it if it wasn't for joy. God's joy. God's joy that's been with me. I want you to consider yourself a joy dealer. That's why God brought you to this problem, to make you a dealer in joy. You know, whatever a person has an abundance of, they can deal with it. If you lack it, you can't deal with it. But if you have the abundance of something, then you can deal with it. Are y'all still here? I learned this from the farm. We had an abundance of tobacco. So we became tobacco dealers. We'd take it to the market. We'd sell it, you know. Then when more came in, we would take that to them. I got so tired of that stuff. Lord have mercy. But I learned how to farm. And you can't get it out of me. I tried. And you can't get out because I know what it is. Sometimes I dream about it, Doris. I have nightmares raising tobacco. Because I was trained in it. Knew how to do it. All the time you've been coming to church, you mean to tell me you ain't trained in this thing of being an overcomer? When you trained in something, you know how to deal with it. When you're trained in a certain way, then you can say, wait a minute, hold up, let me size this thing up. I might be able to do this, then I might be able to do that, but starting off, I'm going to count it all joy because joy is going to tag team with me and patience, and we're going to figure this thing out. Guess what? Guess what? Regardless of how bad life has treated you up to this point, you can say one thing, I'm still here. And what don't kill you, I know that ain't proper English, I ain't talking about proper English. What don't kill you will invariably make you better. Look at somebody, tell them, it didn't kill me. I'm a whole lot stronger today. I'm going to close with this. She said, "Preacher, you want to make us dealers in joy?" Yeah, because that's what God's going to give you. Why would James tell the people, count it all joy, if they didn't have any joy? You could do two things at a bank. Well, probably more than that, but basically you do two things. Either you go into the bank to put money in or to take money out. Nobody's going to just come up to the bank and all of a sudden jump, "Well, what are you doing?" "I'm just standing here around the bank." They're going to come and arrest you. You're going to either put money in or you're going to make a withdrawal. Put money in, you can make a withdrawal. Guess what? God has already put something into your joy account. All you got to do is show up at his bank and make a withdrawal. Need strength? Get some joy. Need to know how to deal with life? Get some joy. And when you got your joy, you got your... That's my sermon right there. We're going to go on and welcome somebody in the church. Here's what the dealers in the automobile industry decided. You know, they had these big dealers, Ford Motor Company, General Motors, and they were making these cars. But then they ran into a problem. They're making plenty of money, but if something happened to the car, either you had to ship it all the way back to Michigan or wherever it came from. And they said, "Wait a minute, we can't do that. We need to come up with some dealerships so that if they got a problem with their vehicle, they don't come to us. Go to the dealership." And they said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to add to that a warranty. It's going to be a limited one. How many miles you got on your car, but I pray that stuff don't break down, or if it does, break down before that warranty wears out." Y'all in the building? "Man, I got to get this done before my warranty wears out." The auto dealers understood that they needed to keep a reputation so that people would continue to buy their vehicles. So the dealers couldn't just say, "Well, yeah, we'll take care of it." They had to be trained. They had to be trained. And they had to be trained on their vehicle. I wouldn't advise you to take your Honda to a Chevrolet dealership. They ain't been trained on it. I had Cadillac, but my wife Cadillac. I ain't got the Cadillac no more. I went and bought me a Honda. We messed up one time. We took the Cadillac to somebody that didn't know how to work on Cadillacs. Then we had to take it back to the Cadillac dealership. And it wasn't under warranty. Oh, have mercy. I traded that car. I said, "You know what, I'm going to fix it this time. That's going to be it." So they have to take their vehicles to the ones who were trained. They train them in customer service so that they would know how to welcome. "How are you today? What's your problem? Let us help you." They train the technician so that they wouldn't confuse a tire with an engine. They train them. So what God does with you, he trains you so that you don't get confused in life because you're a dealer. You got plenty to work with, plenty of tools. You got a toolbox, but the major tool in your toolbox is joy. Joy is like an adjustable, I'm about to shout up here. It's like an adjustable wrench. Some of y'all may not know what I'm talking about, but you don't need to get 3/4. You don't need to get a half. You don't need to get an inch. All you got to do is adjust it. It'll work on anything. This problem that I had, didn't know what size it took, but I got my joy. And I worked on it. And because I worked on it, I learned how to deal with it. I've learned to depend on Jesus because he's the one that gave me my dealership, and thank God I'm dealing in joy. You got to put the right label on it. So your assignment this week, don't go out here with your little box of labels. Oh, I hate that person. Count it all joy. Yeah, they get on your nerves. I know that. But count it all joy. I got this pain. Get your label out and put joy. If you still have the pain, get your adjustable wrench and work on it. I guarantee you, God's going to get the glory and you're going to get through it. Because guess what? You're a testimony that you made it this far. You're a testimony that God has never failed you yet. And if you would start dealing in joy, you can go through life with a smile on your face because you got joy deep down in your heart. Anybody got joy today? Anybody got joy? Thank God for his joy. The word closes with this verse. I know life is tough. I'm not trying to minimize the pain of life, but what I'm trying to do is maximize the joy of Jesus. He says, looking unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews 12:2, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know how Jesus got to that right hand of God? It said he endured the cross. Thank you for that symbol there. God woke somebody up. Praise God. Hallelujah. They were getting ready. They were fitting to go to sleep. He got to the throne by looking at the joy. You're going to get to the place in life that you need to be in dealing with the ups and downs, the trials, the situation, the turns, and all of that comes with life. You're going to get to it not just by looking at joy, but every time you see Jesus, you're going to see joy. You're going to see his love and his grace, and it's going to fill your heart to its fullest. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing love. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control of every situation. Help us to put the right labels on things in life that happen. You didn't make a mistake when you sent us into that trial. You knew we had it in us, and joy brought it out of us. That's how we're going to deal with it. That's how we're going to have the victory for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what, church? I refuse. Can't let nobody steal my joy. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. Steal my joy. Oh, I refuse. Can't let nobody steal my joy. Oh, steal my joy. Come on, some of y'all know it. Oh, I refuse. Can't let nobody steal my joy. Say what? Steal my joy. Say it again. I refuse. Can't let nobody steal my joy. Put those hands together. One more time. Oh, I refuse. Won't let nobody steal my joy. Come on, clap them, clap them. Listen. Well, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Jesus gave me my joy way back on Calvary. That's the reason I refuse. Get the shout in. Come on, get your dance on. Hell yeah. Oh, I refuse. Can't let nobody. Let nobody. Can I say it again? Oh, this joy that I have, this world didn't give it to me. Jesus gave me my joy way back on Calvary. That's the reason I refuse. Hey! Yes, sir! Hey! Still mine. I refuse today. I refuse. Won't let nobody steal my joy. One more time. Steal my joy. Oh, yeah. I refuse. Come on. Say it with me. Can't let them steal my joy. Oh, yeah. Steal my joy. Clap your hands. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. That's how you're going to deal with it. 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 Yeah. Ain't let nobody steal my joy. I'm going to open the doors of the church. I'm about to get happy up in here. Y'all might need to open the door that way. I'm about to run up in here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to open the doors of the church. Whosoever will, let him come. If you're without Christ, without hope, if you want to make Crossroad your church home, we invite you today. We invite you to come. If you're online, you can just simply send us a letter online. Send us a message. Pastor, I want to join with your church. Be a feel. I don't know how you're going to get all of it done, but we'll get you in here. Amen. Because God promises us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. The greatest thing is invite Jesus into your heart to pardon your sins and to cleanse you and to give you his joy, and he will do just that. Is there one today? Is there one? Is there one? Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to get Jamari to come on down. And man, I tell you, I'm Woo! Glory to God. Glory. Yes, I refuse. Can't let nobody steal my joy. Hallelujah. Come on, you say, I'm gonna keep talking. I'm gonna keep talking. Jamari, you have received the ordinance of baptism, and we have a certificate for you that says that you were baptized this day at the Crossroad Baptist Church, and that you have testified to God's grace and work in your life, having received this ordinance of baptism the 27th day of February, the year of 2022. I'm going to give you that, and then I'm going to give you a Bible. You're going to read about Jesus in this book. But the other thing that happens is that this book helps you to recognize what's already happened in your heart, and that he comes to lead you and guide you throughout your life. So I'm going to give you the Bible. Then I'm going to do one other thing. You can get that to your mom. And I'm proud of her. You face some storms. But you didn't lose your joy because God kept you. You had a praying mama. Hallelujah. So Jamari, you had a praying mama and a praying grandmama. And that's how this thing has passed on to you. I'm going to give you the right hand of fellowship. We ain't going to fist pump today. We're going to give a right hand. We'll use some whatever the stuff is, sanitizer later, but we're going to welcome you in today. Amen. You do want to join this church, right? Amen. Y'all heard the statement. So you want to join here. Welcome into the church. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. But ask our brethren to come on in and welcome them in. We'll be allowing the church to welcome Jamari in at the close of the service, so we'll be shaking hands or fist pump as you exit the church today. Right now, we're going to get ready for our communion. Everyone received a communion, and anybody that's been missed, please raise your hand very quickly, and we'll get that to you. Amen. Oh, you got two more over there. Yeah, he got it. I think he got it. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread and he broke it. And he also gave the cup that we might receive it. Father, bless these sacraments now. Change them from a natural use to that which is spiritual. And help us that we might receive your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread and let us eat together. Let us take the cup and let's drink all of it. And after they'd eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Some of us might be going out to a Mount of Trouble, but refuse to let anybody steal your joy. We got to get out of here. We got to get out. Come on, Reverend Fred, dismiss us in prayer. Amen, amen. Dismiss us in prayer. Amen. Everybody stand. Amen. Amen. I refuse.
Let us prepare to receive the benediction. Father God, we thank you for the assembling of ourselves together, O God, this day, that we may receive a word so powerful that it will not allow anyone to steal our joy. Father God, we thank you. We honor you. And Lord, we ask that you will lead us throughout this week, that we may follow you and be a dealer of your joy. Now may the words of my mouth, may the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thine sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let God's people say, amen. Amen.